You turn with me this morning, as I indicated there, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 24. Luke's Gospel and chapter 24 and the experience of these people who walked on the road to Emmaus. It is there that I want us to think today of different experiences they had. We read at verse 13 then. Luke's Gospel 24 at 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk? And are sad. Particularly verse 16 there, but their eyes were holden that they should not see him. It's perhaps better simply to put it, they did not recognize Jesus with them. Every service that we come to, we have a very great privilege. We have the privilege of gathering underneath the preaching of the gospel, and these services are precious to every one of the Lord's people. The same stands true about the communion season we've just had. And so therefore I want to start right at the very beginning by asking a simple question of every one of us. Wherever we are spiritually this morning, from all of the services that we've heard either last week or all of the services we've heard throughout the whole of our lifetime, this morning I want to ask this question. Are we aware and have we seen the Lord Jesus Christ? So often something stops us. Something might distract us. Something can blind us. We can be prevented from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, why? Why do we not recognize him? Why do we not see him? We need to be taught. We need to be instructed. We read there in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch and the way in which he was reading in the prophecy of Isaiah. And Philip was told to go into his company and instructed him and taught him carefully what the passage spoke about. And his eyes were opened and he recognized, he saw who the prophet was speaking about. That same experience is what we need. We need to have our eyes opened. We need to see not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to see ourselves. And we need to realize the danger that we're in and the way in which we cannot help ourselves. And when we are brought to realize the great danger we're in as sinners in the hands of a holy God, then we realize that the only one who can help us is the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, when their eyes were opened as they walked along the road to Emmaus, when they were walking that road, the Lord Jesus Christ drew near into their company. And the words that he spoke with them, and the way in which he gave them an understanding of the scriptures, their darkness was scattered. Their lives were changed. Now, as we will think perhaps later on tonight, now he is the center of their life. He is the desire of their souls. He is their source of joy. This is the experience, the first one I want us to think of this morning. The Lord not seen, not recognized to begin with by us, in our company,
but not recognized. It's not something perhaps that's strange to us, because when you go way back into the Old Testament to Jacob, when he had just run away from home, or at least he was told to go away, in Genesis chapter 28, the first night that he was sleeping underneath the stars, and he had that vision, and at the end of the vision he came to this conclusion, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. Is that not the same kind of experience as these two people had as they walked on the road to Emmaus? Perhaps that is even the experience that we can speak to now. The presence of the Lord with us, but we are unaware of Him, and we don't see Him. Let us then simply this morning think of the first question I want to ask is, why was He not seen? What was it that stopped them from recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ in their company? The first answer to that simple question is the sorrow that they had. The Lord identifies this at the end of verse 17. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? There was obviously a sorrow upon them. They were grieved at the loss of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had been with them for a long time, years, several years. The Lord had been teaching them. And what He had been saying to them was so different from the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. What the Lord was saying to these people was new. It was fresh. What He said touched their souls. What He said brought heavenly matters and issues before their minds. When the Lord was with them, things that they perhaps had neglected, things that had been squeezed out of their lives, things that had been overtaken by other agendas or other pressures of life, things that were of importance to them had been put to one side. But when they met and were in the company of Jesus, Jesus brought these things vividly before their minds again. The Lord made them think of spiritual things. Just in the same way as He does with us, He brings spiritual things before our minds. But now He's gone from them. The occasion has passed. The same occasion with ourselves, it's past. And their sorrow and their sadness there. When we see something of the beauty of the Lord, when something of heaven breaks into our thinking, into our living, and then it's taken from us, that casts a cloud of sorrow upon us. That casts a cloud over our lives. Blurring. Blurring our look on life. Blurring the way in which we read things and understand things. And it's only when the Lord stills us and when He comes again into our company and makes Himself known that that sorrow is scattered. Yes, there was sorrow, but why was there sorrow? There was sorrow there because of unbelief and ignorance mingled together. If they had been expecting to see Jesus, they would have recognized Him when He joined with them. But they were not expecting to see Him. They were not believing, they were not accepting what Jesus had said about His own death, about His resurrection. about the whole purpose of him coming into the world to fulfill the will of his Father. Three times he took the disciples apart, quite specifically recorded for us in the scriptures. Three times he told them very detailed ways about what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. But they did not understand what he told them. And therefore they weren't ready, they weren't believing the resurrection. And when he came and joined with them here, they weren't recognizing him. The weekend we were told of the way in which Paul's thinking was corrected. The way in which Paul was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ was wrong. And it was only when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus that his thinking was put right. There was unbelief there with Paul. There was a measure of unbelief here with these people also. The passages in Scripture are plain. They told of the Messiah coming. The Old Testament speaks about his coming and his suffering, pointing there in the sacrifices that they went through daily, weekly, yearly. The sacrifices that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. But they weren't closing in with these teachings. They didn't believe it. There was ignorance. There was unbelief. And because of that, they did not recognize Jesus as he drew near into their company. We need to have our thinking put right. We need to have our thinking put right as Paul's was. We need to have our ignorance scattered as that man on the road going down, the Ethiopian going down from Jerusalem. There are times when we read the scriptures. We come to them. And there is perhaps unbelief. We need the Lord to come amongst us. And when he comes, perhaps we don't recognize him to begin with, until he teaches us and instructs us more carefully and fully of the things concerning himself. We need to take great swathes of the scriptures. Things perhaps that we struggle to understand. What is this saying to me? What is this telling me about myself and about the Lord Jesus Christ? And we need to take them to the Lord with questions and ask him to teach us, to instruct us. And oftentimes when he does that, we'll find the same experience of us as of them. There is a burning, a yearning, a drawing out after him. But to begin with, there is that sorrow. He's not recognized. Because of unbelief, because of ignorance, with them, with us. But there might be another reason why he was not seen. Especially when you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 12, it tells us there that he appeared and he made himself known to them in another form. In another form. This was a way in which he wasn't seen before by them. And because of that, he was to them a stranger. Sometimes you find this repeated. You might know somebody, maybe from Fort William, say, and you might be on holiday, even overseas, anywhere, and somebody meets you. And just for that moment, you don't recognize them because they're out of place. You know them if you met them in Fort William, but you don't know them if you met them in London or on the beach or on the seaside. Out of place, we don't recognize And that is perhaps what was happening here. He appeared to them in another form that they had never seen or recognized before. He joins with these travelers then. We perhaps ourselves, we have knowledge and we have experience of the Lord Jesus Christ in one particular character. We've known the Lord dealing with us, meeting with us, speaking with us. We've discovered something of His tenderness. We know something of His care. We know the way in which He deals with us as a shepherd deals with the sheep. But that doesn't exhaust the character of our Lord. That doesn't exhaust His dealings and the ways in which He meets with us, His people. There are other times when He comes and He deals with us to correct us. There are times when He comes and He breaks into our lives because there's something wrong in our lives or with our lives. There are times when He puts His hand upon us and stops us in our tracks. And He speaks to us about things that have to be done or things that have to be removed. And we're strangers to Him in this form, disciplining us and correcting us. Yes, we know the joy of the Lord. Yes, we know the consolation of the Lord's presence with us. But then when we know Him as a refiner, when we know the Lord as the one who purifies us, when we know Him not only bringing affliction as well as affection to us, when our circumstances change, then perhaps the difficulty arises. We don't recognize the Lord to begin with. But it is part of our growth. It is part of our maturing that the Lord so deals with us to correct things that are wrong. And we begin to realize and to recognize and to understand something of the fullness of the person and the character of our Savior. Yes, He is a holy God, as well as a God of affection and devotion and covenant mercies. We must not emphasize one aspect to the exclusion or the sacrificing of another. Sometimes the emphasis falls too heavily on one side or another of these positions. And when we allow that to happen, we are impoverishing ourselves and we are crippling our Christian life and our understanding, even our fellowship with our Lord. He is interested in our well-being. And there are times when He draws near to us to further our well-being in a way that we don't initially recognize. And for a moment, we don't see Him. The well-known example, perhaps we've thought of many a time, is Elijah, who was well familiar with the Lord in the might of the fire and the thunder and the earthquake. He knew that to be the way the Lord dealt with the people of Israel. But there were times when he was stranger to the still small voice of God. Go to Acts chapter 16. The same experience is shown to us there. The way in which the Lord dealt with the Philippian jailer is in contrast to the way in which he dealt with Lydia by the waterside. But both of them are true of our Lord and our God. And there are times when the Lord draws near to us. To begin with, we don't recognize Him because of His presence in a different way in dealing with us. Why then was He not seen? Because of these different recent sorrow based upon ignorance or unbelief or in another form. And what was the effect of all this upon these two people. When he was not recognized, when they remembered and recalled the things that had just happened a few days, a few hours before even. What was the effect of all this upon these people? They were bewildered. They were utterly bewildered because the cross and the events of Calvary were the talking point of the whole community. What had happened there was now talked about by everybody, especially by these people on the road to Emmaus. They were walking in darkness. They had no light. They could not understand these things. They were utterly bewildered. But the Lord doesn't leave his people there. He's never content to leave them there. Darkness is not their home. Darkness is not their resting place. And he brings them out of that experience to know him and to recognize him. Sadness, bewilderment upon them. And out of that bewilderment, what did they do? But they talked. They talked as they were going along the way. They were reasoning, we were told. They were trying to work it out. What does all this mean? It's a good thing to share and to talk one with the other. Sometimes when two people are together and one is down, and just simply the sharing of a burden halves the burden, as we say. But also if somebody is down and if somebody is weak, then speaking and somebody is able to strengthen that other person, there is a great benefit from conversation. Here then we have the same thing taking place. They are struggling. And they're both sympathetic with each other. And they're speaking about the Lord. Can you imagine just for a moment what would have happened there? When the Lord came into their company and he asked the kind of question that he did. And the way in which these two people would have given the Lord an incredulous look. What do you mean with this question? What do you mean? Why are you sad? Why are you walking? Why are you talking in this way? These two people could hardly bear to speak of what was going through them. They were down, and their words were so heavy. But they did speak and they did share. You remember what is said to us by the prophet Malachi. And they that feared the Lord, what did they do? They spoke one with the other. And the amazing thing that we're told of by Malachi is that the Lord listens and hears that kind of conversation. And the Lord blessed these people. So it is with ourselves when we can be sad and perhaps we're going through experiences that we don't recognize the Lord's presence. Perhaps we're ignorant of a part of Scripture. Perhaps there's unbelief and there's a wall in our understanding and we're bewildered. Or maybe the Lord is dealing with us through discipline. Whatever be the reason why we don't recognize the Lord, we have the example here of speaking to someone else. Speaking and sharing it. And looking to the Lord to meet with us and to make himself and his dealings plain to us. Sadness, yes. But they weren't silent. They were sad, but they were not silent. And they still clung to the Lord They didn't throw everything overboard and say, well, that's it, I'm away. They tried to reason it out. They tried to make sense of it. And even when we're at our lowest, we can cling all the tighter to our God. And oftentimes we find that in that very experience, as they did, so with ourselves. That's the time when the Lord draws near and He becomes so much more precious as He does so. The Lord gently and firmly dealt with them. There was no resentment with them because of their conversation and their sadness. They were being brought out of their problem by the Lord speaking with them and showing to them and opening to them the Scriptures. We have that same pattern ourselves, to take people's lives, their problems, their difficulties. Where? Where will we get understanding for them and for ourselves? The Lord Himself gives it to us here. To go back to what God's book says. To take our life and our mind, our whole problem, underneath this teaching. If we don't recognize the Lord, if there's something coming into our life that is strange to us, yes, there is one way we can just simply say, put it to one side and leave it alone. Not the best way. We can have resentment and hostility. Or we can go to the Lord and ask Him to make plain to us where the problem is, what the difficulty is. If it's unbelief, if it's ignorance, perhaps there's something in our life that's a barrier to our spiritual progress and development. But to put our lives at the feet of the Savior and ask Him to make plain His way to us. To be willing to be corrected. The best teacher giving us the best lesson out of the best book. Comparing notes then, sharing experiences, bringing the blessings that perhaps one has had from God's Word and sharing it with another. What was the outcome for these people? Their hearts burned within them when their eyes were opened and they saw the Lord. He had created the desire, and He met the desire. And now they went on their way, rushing to tell others of what they had discovered for themselves. It was late, perhaps at night, but they set out on that journey over 7-8 miles to tell of what they had found of the Lord. That was the joy in their heart that could not be contained. How different the day ended from the way the day began. Dragging their feet with their gins on the ground, going along the road to Emmaus. But by the end of it, there was a skip in their step. There was light in their mind. And the Lord was in their lives. Their enthusiasm was unbounded. So we meet two weary, sad travelers. Perhaps we can identify with them ourselves. Perhaps we can see something of ourselves reflected there. And He joined with them. And He created this deep desire in them. And He made Himself known to them. Taking away the barriers, obstacles, anything that came between them and Him. He unlocked the Scriptures. He opened the pages. He removed the shutters on their minds. He brought light upon himself, and he brought light into their lives. He gave them an understanding about themselves and especially about himself. And the day was so different. A duty was changed into a delight. Cold lives beat then with warm and devotion to the Lord. Steps that had been shuffling now gladly walked along the path of life, unrecognized for different reasons, but they spoke about it, they talked about it, they even compared notes, and the Lord drew near, and the Lord taught them and showed them and instructed them. May that be our experience. May the Lord meet with us in the same way as he met with them. Perhaps to begin with, we don't recognize his coming. Perhaps when he gets beside us, in a sermon or wherever, and the Lord begins to deal with us, we don't recognize his presence or his influence upon our lives. Why is this happening to me? And as the Lord is unrecognized, we speak to others about what he's doing in our lives. And as we speak and as we share, we also have light and our prayer that the Lord himself would meet with us and make himself known to us. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come before thee again this morning, we are cast utterly upon thy grace, and we pray that thou wouldst make sense of our lives to us. We pray that there would be light upon our heart and our soul, as well as light upon thy word and thy page. And we ask, O God, that we might have grace to understand, but especially we would have grace to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one that we need to know better or more than him. There is nothing more important for us in all of life, whatever else we might have. Lord, our prayer is that we might have him as our Savior, for we ask it for his sake. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 106. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he. His tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. God's mighty works, who can express or show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that judgment keep and justly do always. Remember me, Lord, with that love which thou to thine dost bear. With thy salvation, O my God, to visit me draw near, that I thy chosen's good may see, and in their joy rejoice. And may with thine inheritance triumph with cheerful voice.
May there be grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.